You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced them I had to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. This got to be something else.
Bigfoot Lives, a movie, at www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of me, and we're talking moccasins just. Playing a part of little hell. Out in the St. John's Walls, Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Star.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And, folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
I'm top drawer. I got it. I feel like $1 million. What about you?
I'm feeling like $1 million too.
You know what? You can't lose with the stuff we use, huh?
That's right. Geritol.
Thanks a lot, Bill. I got to tell you something. This is just totally blowing my mind. You know how I talk each week about this crazy weather that we're having across and around the globe? It's getting stupid again, folks. It's getting really, really crazy. You know, I talked about short sleeve weather just last week, a week ago today, 7 days ago, ladies and gentlemen. Now they're getting impacted with snowstorms, blizzards, whiteouts. It's crazy. We had a late, late winter, haven't we? And it's going to continue on till June. Wait and see. You will blow your minds, folks. But again, what is it doing and how is it affecting these creatures? Think about it. We're supposed to be intelligent human beings. And we're perplexed at the present time, aren't we? What's going through these things' minds? It is totally, totally weird. You know, Bill, I've got to tell you, and I'm going to share it with our listeners around the globe. My gosh, as you know, we've been alligators to elbows, elbows to alligators, whatever how the damn saying goes. We haven't stopped. You know, I haven't slept well in the last 3 days with the different climates and time changes that I've been in the last month. It's been crazy for me in the first place, as you know. But you know what? You know, Bigfoot Lives 3 is done. I want to make an announcement to the world. Bigfoot Lives 3 is done. I saw the packaging today. John LJ, JLJ, that's his initials. This guy did a job that you wait until you see it. It is off the charts. I'll have a copy probably tomorrow, the next day. And I've got to tell you, I've seen it in segment forms. It is just, I'm jazzed. I'm enthused. You know, we've got Bigfoot Lives. Bigfoot Lives 2 came out last year. Bigfoot Lives 3 is coming out now. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. And sit down and buckle up, folks, because I'm going to tell you, with the footage that we got with Bob Hieronymus, the man that was supposedly, allegedly, in that suit that Philip Morris sold him back in 1966 or 67, whatever the hell the year was, we have it on film. We've got the experts. We have one of them coming on our show tonight talking about that film. Call it coincidence, call it karma, call it what you like. We've got the networks all out there, the big ones coming to us now, wanting to see this film. They want to air it. We've got our people and our distributors chomping at the bit, waiting for this movie. They want to put it on VOD. They want to put it on the iPad. They want to put it on the iPhone. They want the world to see this. It's going to rock the Bigfoot world, ladies and gentlemen. These people have all gone silent, and we've had it on film until now, and we're going to release it. We'll let you decide. John Q. Public, you'll see how we got it on film. You go and look it against the film. You look it at what the experts say. You tell us. But for the first time, we're going to get them together. And it's on film. And that'll be out in the next 30 days. It'll rock the world, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to tell you this. Come February 1st, I'm going to make an announcement that'll blow the world's mind. I'm not going to say any more. I'll give you that lick of that lollipop, ladies and gentlemen. But you remember one thing. You heard it here first tonight. Bigfoot Lives radio show. February 1st is going to be an announcement that is going to blow everybody away. You stay tuned because we got it coming at you. Billy, talk to me. What's been going on, son?
My golly, a little bit of everything. You know, the past couple of weeks, we've gotten so many calls on the Bigfoot hotline. It's amazing. I think the weather has a lot to do with it because of But from all over the country, I'm not just talking about one place. I'm talking Alabama. I'm talking up there in New York. My goodness, North Carolina. Where else? Oh, gosh. A couple other places I can't remember right off the top of my head. Oh, Wisconsin. Unbelievable. Had a 13-year-old kid send me an email yesterday and wants to talk to us. He was out camping and had an encounter. Last night, at about 1 o'clock in the morning, I got a call. And, or no, it wasn't 1 o'clock. It was, I guess it was 10 o'clock. I got a call. It was 1 o'clock their time. I got a call, and two guys were out camping, and they were going crazy. This one guy was going crazy. His buddy went in the woods after they saw a creature. He was from Alabama. They were out camping, and they ran into the woods. And while he while his buddy ran into the woods, he was all by himself in the campsite, and he didn't have a fire, and he was by his tent, and he's here. And he was going hermitile, so he went on his little iPhone and dialed up the Bigfoot hotline, and I was talking to him. And finally his buddy came back. His buddy stumbled over a log and got dinged up a little bit and came stumbling back into camp. They're trying to find the fastest way out of there. I told him, don't do anything, especially as the car was about 2 miles away. I said, don't do anything. Just stay there. Light the fire and stay there. But eventually I guess they got a hold of a friend and came by with a pickup and picked him up. So it was kind of an exciting half hour on the phone. It's pretty neat.
What was that word you used? I don't have my dictionary with me. He went domicile. What'd you call it?
No, he fell over a log. Dinged up.
No, there was a word that you used. Was it like referencing that he was going crazy out there?
Yeah, he was going hermitile.
Hermit, that's the word. Now, I never heard that before.
Yeah, he was... Hermitile. In other words, he was just out of control. He was excited. He wanted to run. He didn't know what to do. Then he said, I'm going to go and run in the woods and with my gun. And I said, no, don't do that. I said, just sit down by your tent and take it easy. And he finally calmed down when his friend came back into the camp there. His friend took the phone from him and talked to me. He was pretty level-headed and he told me exactly what happened and what was going on. It was a pretty exciting phone call.
Yeah, Bill, I've got to tell you about this. You know, when you don't answer the phone, as you know, it forwards it on to me or vice versa.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been getting those crazy calls when you're in bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, but where the time zone I'm in, I'm awake. And it's amazing when I get them on the phone, and it just blows me away totally. And I say to myself, when do these people sleep?
I know. It's amazing.
You know? It really is amazing. By the way, did Rob get in on it?
He's not in, and I don't know. I tried to contact him 3 or 4 times here. His phone goes to voicemail. Something's happened. I'm not sure what. But we'll just go on with what we have.
You bet. That's a good thing. You know, I get a call yesterday, Bill, and ladies and gentlemen out there, hope you got your ears on around the globe. And I get it from my brother from another mother up in the north, up there in Montana, up on the Blackfeet Reservation, my brother Bruce. And you know what? I got to tell you, this is true loyalty, Bill, and everybody out there up in Montana on the Blackfeet Reservation. Browning, my brother Bruce calls me and says, Brother Tom, some clown called up here saying he was from the Animal Planet show finding Bigfoot, hunting Bigfoot. And I says, well, what do you want, Bruce? And he says, well, he knew how he got the story from your website, Tom, which they all do one time or another through that table of contents we've got, you know, they all seem to proselytize our work one way or another, don't they? And they wanted to come up to the reservation and talk to Brother Bruce on the reservation and have him reenact the incident that he had 5 years ago, 6 years ago, whatever it was. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if you ever had purchased Bigfoot Lives, our original movie, our award-winning documentary, you will know who I'm talking about. Bruce was the man, and his daughter and son were out there, and they found this print. And that's how it all started. And then that was the key that opened up Pandora's box, ladies and gentlemen. And that's how myself and my crew went up there. Not once, not twice. We've been up there a few times. Most recent time, we were up there, me and Brother Bill Coffey and Rob Youngblood. I think there was somebody else up there. I can't remember. Terrible weather when we were there. But this isn't the first time they tried to approach Brother Bruce, but a couple of times. But it's not just them, ladies and gentlemen. You know, Janine and down there in Pennsylvania with our other extended family. They've contacted them and wanted to come down and film them and all that, you know. So you know what I told them? I said, listen, I don't want to begrudge you or anybody else from making money. You tell them, sure, come on out, but make sure you got $10,000. And Bruce says, well, they don't have $10,000. So next thing you find out, Bruce says, well, when you get it, let me know. So that's the story there. Well, without any doubt and without any further ado, let's get up to the cold country. And I understand it was 23 below. Let's get to my brother Bruce. You out there?
I'm here, Tom.
How are you?
Nice and toasty.
Well, tell me what the weather is like.
Oh, it's pretty fair in the house, but it's ugly outside. It's, I don't know, in the 20s. Or what's the temperature, dear?
It was 10 below.
10 below a few minutes ago.
You see, people cannot fathom what just came over your lips. 10 below zero, ladies and gentlemen. But you know what? When it gets below freezing, period, as long as you're layered up and you got your ski mask on and you got the proper gear, you're okay. Whether it's 10 below or 20 above, it's all the same. As long as you've got the right clothes and you know what you're doing out there in those elements. I was shocked, Brother Bruce. Not shocked about the story I just told everybody, because it's what's happened to you now three times. I'm shocked about all the sightings that you're having up there.
Yeah, we're having sightings all over. You know, it just dawned on me. I don't know if I mentioned it, but right here where we live, north, east, south, and west, there's been sightings. And, you know, things happening all the way around the house here. And I guess we're right in the middle of it. So we don't have to go too far in any direction to get something. But right
you know,
now,
why don't you share with our audience out there and our friends, Brother Bruce, about the creature that was looking in that person's window not far from Hiram's?
Yeah, just down the creek where they found that leg, a few miles. There's a guy that lives out in the field there, and he was getting harassed by that Bigfoot, and I guess the Bigfoot was coming around at night and peeking in the windows and stuff, and it really scared him bad. I never heard anything lately, but another incident was, up on Divide, about a few miles from here, maybe 10, 15 miles from the house north, up on the ridge there, there was two cowboys riding through the brush. This was in October, and we didn't have no snow then, but I guess there was a couple Bigfoots harassing those cowboys, scaring their horses and hollering at them, and, you know, so they called me. I went up and checked it out with I have two new Bigfoot hunters with me, and we checked it out, and we couldn't find no tracks or anything, but we were on four-wheelers. We were gone all day. That's another incident. And right up above the house here, I found a Bigfoot track. A couple hunters saw some Bigfoot tracks and bones and stuff, and around by this beaver dam and a big tree. And that's where I found another track. It wasn't a full track. It was kind of a heel impression going down a steep hill, right on the trail. And there was one more incident. There was a tourist. This is when the weather was good. It's bad now, but the tourist was loading up his trailer or something at a little diner or a little roadhouse restaurant. And this native was watching him, and that tourist is having a hard time, so he went over and he started helping him load his trailer up. And when he got done loading it, he looked over in the brush, and here there was a Bigfoot. He was just standing there watching him, and he didn't know how long that Bigfoot was watching him, but that was just another incident. And this is just a few miles of each other, you know, these incidents. And
you know, Bruce, I got to tell you.
And I haven't been able to go out because the snow's too deep and too cold. But as soon as the weather breaks this spring, I'm going out. My buddy's going to buy a four-wheeler, and we can do some lot of country, you know, go through a lot of country. He's a fire, what do they call those guys? He's an ex-fire guy, you know, he knows all the maps, all the trails. And
yeah, those are the guys that they parachute in. Those guys are rugged, man. They really know their stuff. I got some good news for you. Depending on what time in the spring, we're going to be coming out there for a month. I'm going to send
that.
Hey,
that'll be just right, Tom. Man, we can get something done. I mean, if it just overnight, I don't know, but
No. We're going to stay out there for a month. So now you got all the time in the world to get us a teepee that's got running water, a bathroom, and some heat.
I can get you one that don't have that.
Yeah, I know all about it. But here's the deal. When do you think of the melt, when the thaw will hit?
Usually May or June.
Yeah, see? You know, we got quite a few months left. But I know what's happening. But I'm going to put you, we're going to say around the 25th of April, we're going to schedule you till the 25th of May.
Great. We'll pencil that in the calendar now. And there's one thing, Tom, can I ask you? You know, I need a Bigfoot 2 and a Bigfoot 3. Movie. Could you send those and I'll write you a check and pay for them when they get
When have you ever written me a check for anything? Shit, I think it's just the reverse.
Yeah, that's true, but I mean, you know, I really want them bad. But
Okay, no problem. I'll send them up. Well, you'll have to wait. Give me at least 10 days because I'm just, they're just sending me Bigfoot 3, and I'll tell you what, it's incredible. And Bruce, when you see, we've got the real interview of Philip Morris, Bob Hieronymus, his family, and the people who have played the part in that hoax. It's going to be, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you straight up, all we're going to do is we're going to have it on DVD form, and we're going to have it, the networks are chomping at the bits right now. They're on a bidding war. And we're going to tell you right now what you're going to see. We're just going to put it out there. You decide. You tell us if the Patterson film was real or it was fake. Remember one thing. You'll hear me say it in Bigfoot Lives 1. I got into this crazy business because of that damn film. When I found out, my heart sunk. After hearing it with my own ears, seeing it with my own eyes, meeting these people, and having them tell the story. And one of the people passing a polygraph test, passing it, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to see it. But yes, you got them. As soon as they come in, I'll send them over to you, brother. You got them. Don't worry about it. And thanks for joining. Just mute yourself out. We got a whole lot more show. I don't know where Youngblood went. I hope to God he's okay. Either that or he loves, out of 24 hours, ladies and gentlemen, this kid can sleep for 23 and on the other hour get up and eat. So say hello to Donna, kiss the kids, and tell everybody Tom and the boys are coming up.
Okay, Tom. We got it on the calendar, so God bless you folks, and we'll be waiting.
God bless you, and you know what? I talked to Bill Coffey today. I think he's going to be up there with us because, you know, he really liked you guys. You remember Bill, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, we love him, too. My Tom, whatever happened to Mitch Waite? I know he's having his mom was sick or something.
Well, his mom passed. Thank you for asking. And Mitch is on hiatus somewhere. Next time you see Bill Coffey, he'll tell you all about Mitch Waite. I should have listened to Bill because, boy, he was right on target there. Anyhow, God love you. Mute yourself out. We got a whole lot more show, okay?
Okay, Tom.
Bye, buddy. Ladies and gentlemen, that's my brother from another mother up there in Montana. They got action going on there. Peakfoot going to the windows, people seeing them, knocking on doors. What else are we going to hear tonight? By the way, Marco Bill, are you there?
I'm here and ready to go on commercial.
Data boy, that's what I was going to say. Knock yourself out, brother.
Here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And Tom, it's back to you.
Thank you, good buddy. You know, I got to tell you something, Bill. Every time I hear from Brother Bruce and the family up there, it just delights me to no end. I got to tell you, because, you know, they're so loyal, so true blue, and they're just fine, fine folk. You don't find many people like that anymore, Bill. You know that?
Oh, I know. I know. Bruce and his wife, Donna, they're just, one of a kind.
Well, let me ask you something, Bill. I'm glad we're talking about this. How many people do you know that are left, or you can count on one hand, that are loyal like they are when here they are, people calling them to do their stories and want to come up there and talk about Bigfoot, search up in that area, and they tell them, no, we'll have to talk to Tom first. What do you think about that?
I think it's a rare occasion. Most everybody, when they see dollar signs, see, honestly, there's no dollar signs out there. These different... we've had dozens of calls, as you know, from the Animal Planet, from Sci-Fi, and a couple others that wanted to take our material and use it for their shows. And they ran out of material. So they're looking for new material, and they don't have any. And
you hit it right on the head, Bill.
And people don't realize that, but that's what's really going on. And they don't have any more material, so they go around. And they don't have any of their own. So what they do is they go around and search around on the websites and other things, and they find material that they can use for the shows. And then they call the people that might have rights to the show or anything else to try to get through them. But they really don't have a lot of they're really not going to spend any money to get it. They're going to take it and run with it on their own and then leave everybody else back in the dust. And They've done that several times already to people that we know, Tom. You know that. And so it's kind of a little bit of a lie when they try to coerce people into doing it. But sometimes the way the economy is and the way, it's hard to get a buck nowadays even working. Most people don't have a job. And it looks appetizing. Anything does. But what really happens is they really get left behind and don't get anything, and they give whatever they have to the people, just like our lady friend here in Iowa. She gave the organization a whole bunch of stuff, including photographs, hair samples, the gifts of the turtle shells and bones and other things, skeletal remains, and then they said, "Oh, we'll be back in the spring to investigate after winter," right? And then the next day, she goes up on the website, and there they got all her stuff up there, and they're saying they've taken her story, her and her husband John's story, and they're using it as theirs, and they're saying that they were the ones that had the incident, and that's not right. But they do that all the time. There's a lot of people out there that are like that. And,
I'm glad that you brought that forward, Bill, and I'll tell you the reason why. You know, there are so many people out there, and they all think, "Oh, wow, I'm going to get on TV," okay? Not knowing that the people that shoot for Animal Planet, Sci-Fi, History Channel, Discovery Channel, all of them, and they're all in cahoots one way or another. They're production companies, folks. They're the people that make the money when they sell the program, when they ask for so many episodes. So therefore, they come and they try to get everybody to get in front of that camera, because now you're going to get your 15 minutes of fame, and they don't pay you anything. Or they're going to try to get you not to pay anything at all. And it happened not too long ago about our friends up there in the Four Corners that I heard about Net Geo going up, and all these people were, oh gosh, they were all, one guy went and hocked his guns and saying, "Hey man, I'm gonna be on TV and Nat Geo's coming up," I think was the name of the they were under that cover, a moniker. But it was a production company that came out and filmed for, I guess, Nat Geo, and I think it was a pilot. It wasn't even an episode. And they all thought they were all gonna get paid while they were being filmed up there, Bill. And you know what they got?
Nothing.
They got no. They got a bag lunch and a Coca-Cola.
Yeah, I know.
and I told these people, I says, my mother, God rest her soul, she used to tell me, she says, "Believe nothing what you hear and half of what you see." And Mama, you are so right. And let me tell you, folks, I've been through the mill. It's not my first romp in the park. I didn't get these gray hairs for nothing. We don't travel.
Well, Tom, one of the most important things about this is in that whole mess, we lost some close friends who thought for some reason, I guess greed overtook them, and they weren't upfront about everything, and so they thought they were going to get all this money, and everybody sold their soul. Friendships and other things were all up in arms over that. And when it's all done, they don't have anything. And it's sad. I mean, it's really sad that people would expend everything they had to give up everything they had to for something that was a false lie, deceit, and all those other things.
You're so right, Bill. But you know what? Out of all that tragedy and all of that bullshit, we met some good people, too. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
And some of those good people are still here today. I got to tell you something. One of the guys tells me the other day, he says, "You know what, Tom?" He says, "Boy, I got caught up in that hoopla and those delusional cultist people. And I believe, and when they used to talk bad about you, and I had never met you until the time that I did." And he says, "You know, I work with you now. And these people that kind of try to detract him and tell him that I'm a bad person and all this kind of stuff." You know what he comes back to him and says? "Have you ever met Tom Biscardi? Have you ever been out in the field with Tom Biscardi? Have you ever sat down and had a cup of Joe with him or ate a sandwich with him to find out what he's all about? And they all tell him the same story, no. And then he proceeds to tell them all, well, you know what? I work with Tom Biscardi. And there isn't a finer man in the industry that knows about this business as much as he knows. And I got to tell you something. I found a damn good new friend and somebody who's loyal and really knows what he's doing. That's JLJ, folks.
Yeah.
True story. All right, so I'm really looking forward to our friend now. Leroy's on the line?
Yeah, well, Leroy's out there. Leroy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Leroy, good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, no problem.
once and for all, your work is going to go towards something that has meaning, my friend. And you know what I'm talking about. But before I get into any of that, and I don't think I want to do any of that right now, I want you, because Bill didn't have time to put all this stuff up on the website. Is that correct, Bill?
Yeah, we did. Well, it wasn't time. It's not in the right format to do that. And we don't have it ready to do that. It'll take some time to be able to do that.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I want you to go back from the beginning, if you could, Leroy, and tell my listeners around the globe how you got into the mystery of the Patterson-Gimlin film.
Okay, it was, in 2002, I've actually seen a real Bigfoot face-to-face coming home from work. That's what got me started in the Bigfoot field. Well, in about 2006, going into early 2007, I had a friend who kept on asking me to look over the film, but I kept on turning them down because I know once you start getting into films like that, people's going to start making fun of your research, cause especially if you find anything that's wrong with the film. Well, after a couple months of him kept on bugging me, I said, I'll tell you what, I'll take a look at it, and I'll see if I can find anything, you know, whether it's real or not. And as I started going over the film, that's when I started finding other men, and they claimed there was only two guys there, but then I'm seeing another hat comes in and out of frame, and then Bob Gimlin hiding behind a brush that I've seen. And you can see that in photos. And when I analyze photos and films, first thing I want to let everybody know that I only show what I find. I don't add nothing to the films or nothing to the photos, nothing, because what's there has always been there from day one. And I only show what I find, whether it's real or not real. But as I started doing research on the film and more things I'm finding out, like Bob Gimlin is not seen on the film, which is a lot of stuff I never even brought out until now. I've held a lot of stuff back. Everybody claims that, oh, this is Bob Gimlin going down the road. Even John Green claimed it was Bob Gimlin, but it actually was Roger Patterson, again, with a blue shirt on. And that was filmed in 1964 by Rob Thornton when he was at Bluff Creek. And they just added that part to the film in 1968, Ron Olson did.
Wow. So, you know, I looked at some of these photos and your reenactments of the suit that you actually built. And I got to tell you something. I was utterly shocked. I was amazed to see the similarities. And who was that person in the suit that walked just like the Patty film?
Well, when I was doing trying to identify the person in the suit in a Patterson film, people look at the side motion, how he walked, and everything else. I also studied the motion of the feet, how he pushes off on his right foot. And to me, that was everything that fits Bob Hieronymus. Okay, just like when he talked about how he felt when he was in a suit, I felt the same thing when I had the suit on. I'm 6'2", but with the suit on, I'm 6'7". Okay, so it adds an extra 5 inches to me. Now, if I have cowboy boots on, then I'm 6'9". So it all depends what kind of shoes I got on underneath the feet pad, so it'll put more height to my thighs.
Now, didn't you tell me that one of the guys that were involved in this incredible event, I'm not going to say hoax, event, praised you on your suit?
Yes, that was John Green.
Tell my listeners what John Green told you. Now, did he send this in email form, or did he do it by phone?
He sent it to me through email, because I contacted John Green and asked him 5 questions about the film, excuse me, that I do to everybody else. I talked to Bob Hieronymus on the phone, but when I contacted John Green, I sent him photos of my suit, and by him, he says, when he looked at my suit, he was very impressed with the suit I made. Well, he was impressed with my research, and especially in the suit that I made, for it's the closest to what they filmed on the film. And I had the emails and everything else that John Green sent me. Plus, he also told me about what was on the original film, and that's where I started getting more confused about it, and I knew it was a remake, because on the original film, by him, the original film shows scenery and someone riding before and even after the Bigfoot walked. So that places the Bigfoot part of the film in the middle of the film, not at the end of the reel as they claimed it would be.
Wow. Wow. Tell us about that famous still that the world has seen, but don't, for some reason, don't understand about when it lifts its left foot, all you see there is a pad.
Yes, that's the one, that's the photo you're talking about that has what I found Bob Gimlin behind the brush. If you look at the left foot, which would be the left foot that has up, you don't see, it just looks like one flat pad. It has no toes on or nothing. And around the toes, it's more boxed off and rounded off on the heel. But if you look at the right foot, it's more formed like a foot, and you can also see toes. So when I match them up to the cast prints that Roger Patterson claimed that they took from the film site, they don't match. There's 2 different feet on this Bigfoot.
And that's the part that's perplexing. Because when you, I looked at the footprints that you had. Now, who's the one that came up with the footprints? Who gave those phony footprints?
That was me. Because when I, what are you talking about? On when I analyzed them? Or?
No. There's footprints down here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And who made these footprints? Was it Ron Olson or was it Roger Patterson? Who was it?
Roger Patterson made the cast prints, and the film that they show of him making cast prints, that wasn't filmed at Bluff Creek. That was filmed in another location. That was just thrown into the film in 1968 by Ron Olson. Because if you actually watch the remake of Roger Patterson's documentary, which is called Sasquatch, The Legend of Bigfoot, mm-hmm. by Ron Olson and A&E, well, you'll also find Roger Patterson's tracks in that film, right along with this tracking dog film that M.K. Davis is showing.
Mm-hmm.
You also find them tracks as well in this one documentary.
So, okay. So in the photo here, it says the above cast print mm-hmm. and a drawing from Roger Patterson's book from 1966
mm-hmm.
was the image on the right. So who found, where'd that print come from?
The print came, that's what I was talking about when I was understanding the tracks had been made, them casts had been made before 1967, because you see the cast print that Roger Patterson was holding his hands and everything else, but here you, in Roger Patterson's book from 1966, he has the same kind of drawing, the same style of foot and everything that he's drawn and placed in his book. So when it comes to that part of the film where he's got his striped shirt on and everything else, had it been filmed before October of 1966 when his book came out.
Wow. Wow. So what's the timeline here? It says that it was taken October, what was it, 22nd, 1967? Is that when they say it was supposedly taken?
Well, they said it was filmed on October 20th, 1967.
Okay. But when do you feel that it was actually filmed?
Well, to me, just like their time frames, if okay, everybody's seen the famous frame 352, okay? That's where the Bigfoot looks back. Well, they claim they filmed this Bigfoot at 1:30. Well, if you look at the shadows on the ground, you'll find out that that part of the film was actually filmed at high noon because the sun's directly above them. Okay? And what people don't know, that the first part of a walk where they start seeing a Bigfoot standing up and then starts walking, that was never even seen in the original film. That was also added in 1968.
I'll be damned.
Because if you read the newspaper clippings where they said John Green and Rainey DeHinnon bought 30 seconds of film. Okay, they got 30 seconds rights of the film. Then Ron Olson said when he first saw it, he only saw 27 seconds of the film. Because that's how long it was. It was just 30 seconds long. That only goes for the second part of the walk sequence. Not the first part of the walk sequence. That's not even in the original film. The original film just shows the Bigfoot starts to walk and looks back and then, you know, hightails off. That's it.
Well, Tom, you know one thing that that Leroy brought out in his research? The original PG film was called Bluff Creek Bigfoot, and it had a registered number of 159 on it. And then in 1968, the film was remade, and they changed the name of the film to American Bigfoot, and then the new register number was 767, which the only existing copy that exists, right, Leroy, is the 767, which is owned by A&E, which is the Olsen Company, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the people that were marketing it didn't even own the film.
Yeah, just like Mrs. Patterson and John Green actually just has a copy of the American Bigfoot film. They don't have the original film whatsoever. They got the American Bigfoot film because the Bluff Creek Bigfoot, which was the one filmed in 1967 and registered in 1967, is no longer in existence because it was cut up and used in pieces and put into the American Bigfoot film.
Okay, but here's my question. When was it shot prior to October 20th, 1967?
Well, most of the film that they show that's on the film was shot anywhere from 1964 to 1966.
You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
So you're telling me for 2 years that film was out there while they were scoping on how they were going to scam the world?
Yeah, because that's what it was mainly about, because Roger Patterson was worried about trying to get a documentary together. Okay, and that's what he's been filming. Just like they'll never talk about it, just like Bob Gimlin, he'll never talk about the documentary that he was in with Roger Patterson, because he was dressed up like an Indian and everything else and wore a wig. But he's never talked about that. That was always just cast aside, the way they talk about it, just like if you actually hear some of the stories that they talk about how they, October morning, they turn around the corner, and then they seen the Bigfoot, and then Roger came up to Bob Gimlin, and they went to Mount St. Helens, and then as soon as they came back, he got this phone call. All that stuff is mentioned in his book from 1966. I have both copies. I have the first edition that came out in 1966, which he sold the rights to. Then there's a second edition that came out by Ron Olson's other company that he had was North American Wildlife Research, which took over the second rights to the film, I mean to the book. I had that copy as well.
You know what's blowing my mind also? I got to tell you. And you know, my heart is just sinking. Just sinking. You have no idea. And thank God, thank the good Lord up above that I've had encounters in as many as I've had in my tenure. Because I'm just overwhelmed. I really am, okay? But is these prints that you show, I'm... How can it go from 7 years difference and it's the same print, identical?
Yeah. That's why I said when I started doing research and doing background checks, because see, when people study the film, they just study film, the one part of the film, and that's it. They never study the rest of it. But I had to study the following process of this film. Okay, who had it first? Who made the film? When was this, you know, was filmed at? I mean, who all took part in it, who all was there, you know what I'm saying? I had to look at all that before I could even bother looking at the film to begin with. Okay, because a story can change or a story, people can add words to it. This is why Bob Gimlin, when he was asked the question, who had the camera, did Roger have the camera, who filmed? He says, I didn't have nothing to do with camera. That's true. He's not lying about that. He didn't have nothing to do with the camera because he didn't do no filming whatsoever. Because all these parts of the films were shot at different times from 1964 to 1966. And if some of it was filmed in 1967, which basically I think the Bigfoot part of the film was filmed in probably around August. Because Jim McLaren started a statue in Willow Creek. And they said, well, he started in August. And he says, well, what day did you start it? You know, and he's got an article on it on the net. He says, what day did you start that on? And he turned around, he says, I don't know, I guess it was the same day that Roger Patterson was filming his Bigfoot is when I started carving that statue. But he's claiming he was started in August, the summer of 1967. So if he was starting at the same time Roger was up in the mountains filming this thing, that puts that film in August.
And you know, when we did our filming of up there with Hieronymus and those people, he told us the same thing. It's heart wrenching. I got to tell you that it is just so heart wrenching. So who made these phony prints? Who do you think made these phony prints?
Roger.
Roger made them.
Mm-hmm. Because just like if you go ahead.
Was there any truth to Ron Olson when he had his encounters? Was that all bullshit, too?
Well, Ron Olson really never had any encounters. He wanted an encounter, but he never did. That's why he got in the Bigfoot field, because when he see Roger Patterson's short film, all thing was going through their minds was dollar signs. Because even Rover Krantz, talked to Bob Gimlin, and he says, well, maybe we should have shot one. Me and Roger talked about it later on, said maybe we should have shot one where we could have financially good money plus take care of the naysayers. And this is what Grover Krantz said that Bob Gimlin said.
Now, you know, I met Grover Krantz. I don't know if you knew that. I met Grover. Matter of fact, he was up there on the land up at Ivins. He camped out right on his land, which so many other people did back in them days to try to come in and take from what he had. And I was at his home. I went up to Pullman, Washington. He was the anthropologist up there. I think it was Pullman State. He liked his wine. Grover liked his wine, but he was emphatic. He was the real deal. He wanted all that stuff that Ivan had with the Bossberg creature and all that kind of stuff. The wounded one had the bad foot. But I'm just shocked. I'm just totally amazed, you know. It's knocked me down a pace or two to when I start connecting the dots, if you know what I mean, Leroy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And knowing, and I'm just one, ladies and gentlemen. How many other people got into this crazy business because of that film? And I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for my, I was bound and determined to get to the truth of this matter. And yes, I've had my encounters. My encounters have been real. There are some legitimate people out there. There are some people who have seen things, and way too many, in fact, okay? But you know what? I'd like to see this thing come to a head once and for all. And it's people like you, Leroy, that are taking it, you know, on the chin, I'm sure. You've probably heard from a lot of naysayers and a lot of haters and have given you a lot of grief.
Oh, yeah.
Man, that's the reason why I've grown to have big, broad shoulders in this industry. It's like water off a duck's back, if you hear where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
And you know what? I take my hat off to you because, you know, you've persevered. That's that big word, once again, ladies and gentlemen. Persevere. And I've persevered. God knows I've persevered. When the times looked the dimmest, I saw that light at the end of the tunnel, ladies and gentlemen. As well as Leroy has. I want to thank you, my brother, from the bottom of my heart.
Oh, no problem.
Don't let these naysayers, don't let these haters, don't let these idiots get to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
I'm there to talk to you any time of the day, 24/7. Thank you again from me and Bill. You know that you have a public forum here on our radio station anytime.
Okay.
And believe me, and we'll be seeing each other real soon, too, by the way. And we'll talk about that later. But just mute yourself out. We got a couple of more minutes left here. I want to go into conclusion with my brother Bill here for a minute.
Okay, Tom.
We got Tyrone next, too.
Oh, let's put Tyrone on now.
Hello. Hi, Tyrone. How you doing?
Hey, Happy New Year. I got your messages, Tyrone. How is it over there on the reservation in Mississippi?
Yeah, it's okay. The Choctaw Indian Reservation here in Choctaw, Mississippi. Yeah.
Yep. You know, I got to tell you, I heard from so many people from when we came out there. And again, I want to thank you for your hospitality. The people were so warm and generous to us. You know, especially that co-mayor in that little town next to your town. What was that name of that town, Tyrone?
Oh, Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, Mississippi. There you go.
Right.
Well, tell me what...
Home of the country music artist, Marty Stewart.
That's right, Marty Stewart. Well, tell me what's been going on since we last met.
I've had a lot of folks come up and talk to me and telling me that, well, I had some experience with Bigfoot, too. And some people would tell me, well, so-and-so was telling me about his experience with Bigfoot, you know. And the people have been opening up here. And a few days after you guys came and left, my sister said she went outside to feed the dogs in the back of my mother's house, and there was this figure standing in the dark, and he just stood there watching her feed the dog, and she said she fed the dogs and walked on back and turned around, and the figure had already walked off already, you know, and it was a figure of a bipedal creature.
Wow. You know, first of all, I want to tell you, Tyrone, it wasn't just us, it was you. You were the one that brought it to our attention. We happen to be the only people out there that was hearing your call and came and believed in you and your people. And we went out there, as you know, and came out to you and went out onto your land and see what was going on. And I got some news for you also. We're going to be coming out there and spending 2 weeks minimum on the res with you.
Mm-hmm.
See what we can get. And by the way, that Game and Fish warden guy, what a great mind you got there.
Oh, yes. He's very friendly and very open with the Bigfoot incidents.
Yes. And there's not many like him around, I got to tell you. Mm-hmm. So that was another great mind that we had.
Well, I enjoyed your company, and I just got to tell the folks out there where I told a friend of mine, I said, that Bigfoot Incorporated was here. Thomas Gardy and his team came over, and we talked, and we went and investigated and talked to people. And I said, that night, we all went to the Kenny Rogers concert.
We did. Yes, we did. We went to see Kenny Rogers, and that was courtesy of the Choctaw Indian Reservation, ladies and gentlemen. Great people to work with. Now, I hope to God you guys are as loyal as the Blackfeet and the Apaches. And when I say that, I say it from the bottom of my heart. We're the only ones searching for Bigfoot and Tom Biscardi. Me and my crew are the only ones that are allowed on the Apache reservation.
I'll tell you what. If they want my story, I need $10,000.
I love you, man. I love you, Ron. You're the man. Okay, well, fantastic, brother. Listen, I'll be in touch with you real soon. Thanks for being on with us. God bless you, and Happy New Year, and tell Mama hello.
Okay, I sure will, and you folks out there in Bigfoot Land, have a good Happy New Year.
Ciao, my brother. Thanks again, Billy. It's been another triumphant night. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America. Good night, Miss Calabash, wherever you are.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. When you love them together, reason for the facts.